and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. It is no accident that you are here today, friend. So please stick around for a bit and let's see what the Lord has for all of us today. And welcome back to all you regular listeners. Thank you for stopping in another day. I'm just so blessed to be on this journey with you. And so I'm excited for us to park in God's Word today and see what He has for us. Please know that I continue to pray for you, that the Lord would draw you closer to Him, that you would have a desire to spend time with Him, that you will be intentional and deliberate about your study and thinking about Him and drawing closer to Him, and that you won't just do your Bible study or your devotional or anything like that just to check a box, that you're truly wanting to know more of Him. And oh, friends, if we seek Him with a true heart, He is just so gracious to allow us to know more of Him. And we can do that very much in His Word, and we must be able to know His Word in order to keep His Word. And so I'm excited for us to be here today. Please consider sharing this podcast with friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it, and know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. Let me know what the Lord's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him. Well, our verse for the day for April the 30th is from Exodus chapter 4, verse 30, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. I think in yesterday's podcast, I said English Standard Version. I've done that for over 800 episodes, so it's hard for me to get into this habit of saying Legacy Standard, but this is from the Legacy Standard Bible, and it reads as follows. And Aaron spoke all the words which Yahweh had spoken to Moses. He then did the signs in the sight of the people. And so you may say, well, that's an odd verse. Why are we going to study that? Well, we're going to learn some history. We're going to learn some background and see what else the Lord would have us to know today. All of the scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. So I pray that He'll help us to learn and see what He would have us to know today. But we are in Exodus. You know, yesterday we were in Deuteronomy. We're kind of going backwards in history. Yesterday, remember, we talked about Moses giving those farewell addresses to the children of Israel before they were getting ready to cross over into the Promised Land, and he was not going to be able to go, but he wanted them to make sure that they knew these things, and he told them about things that would happen with them, about how they unfortunately would turn away to idols, but when they turned back, when they sought the Lord and sought Him with all their heart and all their soul, that they would be able to find Him. And that's what we talked about yesterday. Today, we're going to go back to the beginning surrounding the time around His call and right after He was called, and what happened with that, and why was Aaron involved, and who was that. So I'm excited for us to do that. It's just the way this fell. Because of the way that I choose the verses, I choose those to match the date. So this is Exodus 4:30. It's April the 30th. In doing that, God has allowed us just to go all over the scripture, and it just so happened that this one and the one from yesterday were both in the law, and they were both talking about Moses, but they are reversed in chronological order. But that's okay, because we could go all over the scripture. It's still just wonderful to see what the Lord would have us to know. Remember, if you've been on this journey with me very long, I think it's wise for us to think about where we are. So we are in the law. And those five books of the law begin the Old Testament. There's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then the Old Testament moves into Old Testament history and then into the, what's called the wisdom and poetry literature, and then into the major prophets and the minor prophets. These books of the law, Genesis goes all the way back to the very beginning of creation, a creation that was in six literal days. And yes, I am a creationist because that is what the Bible teaches. And so I think one of the biggest, one of our big tests of faith is, do we believe all of God's word? Or do we do the way that the world does and the way that the devil does and say, well, I believe part of it, but it can't really be what he says there. So that doesn't fit with the with science and all those things. So how can I believe that? Oh, no, no. God's word is true. And one of our biggest tests is, do we trust him? Do we believe what he says? Because, you know, that's what the devil did all the way back in the garden. He encouraged Eve to doubt. He said, did God really say such and such? And that's what happens in this world today. That's what happens in everything. Well, did God really mean that when he said it? Yes. What he says is true. His words are true. And so I would encourage you to believe his words. All right. But we go all the way back to Genesis. It tells us about creation, tells us about the first people, tells us about the fall, about the original sin, and also tells us about God's plan. All the way in the beginning, we begin to hear that he has a plan of salvation and redemption to bring his people back to him. And we read about the great judgment, the flood. Then we read about starting over with Noah and his family. And we read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons. And they went down to Egypt during a famine. They grew from 70 persons to up over the scripture says over 600,000 men. So there had to have been probably around 2 to 2.5 million total of them when you think about women and children. And we read about in Exodus when God sent Moses to lead them out of their bondage and their slavery. And we begin to see God gave them the Ten Commandments and the law and these rules and statutes and called them to be obedient to him and to honor him and to love him and to not have any other gods before him. And then in Leviticus, that book talks more specifically about the law and the priesthood. And then in Numbers, that discusses a lot of the time in the wilderness and they're wandering in the wilderness. And then as we discussed yesterday, Deuteronomy talks about the those farewell addresses that Moses gave the people before they were finally getting ready to cross into the promised land after 40 years. Moses is thought to have written these books of the law, except for the last couple of chapters in Deuteronomy, because it records his death. And it's thought that Joshua probably wrote that. And like we discussed yesterday, we can read in different parts in the scripture where it says that Moses was told to write these things down. I think of Deuteronomy 31:9, but also, and I think this is more of that stamp of authenticity or just adds to it in a great way. Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, told them that if they believed Moses, because they would argue with him, well, we believe Moses, or, you know, that's where we put all our stock. I'm paraphrasing that. And Jesus said, if you believed Moses, then you would believe me because he wrote of me. And so that lets us know Jesus knew and confirmed that Moses wrote these words. And so when you think about how God worked all of that out, how Moses was born to a Levite couple, during the time when the Egyptians were had control over those who were those Israelites, those Hebrews, and the number of the Hebrews was just growing so much, and the Pharaoh had given this order for all the boys, all the male children, to be thrown into the Nile. And Moses's parents trusted God. They believed God. And they, Moses's mom put him in a basket, covered it with tar and pitch, and put it in the Nile. And then Pharaoh's daughter found him, and she adopted him, so to speak, and he was brought up with the best education of the day. And when you think about God's providence in that, about how he would have had all of that training, then he would have had the skills. And God, of course, gave that, but he would have had those skills to be able to write these things down, to be able to be an administrator and a leader and all those things that God would call him to do when he was much, much older. So I want to bump over to the chapter before where we find our verse for the day, where we hear about God calling Moses and then what happened that leads up to our verse for the day. It says here in Exodus chapter 3, "Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, 'I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why is the bush not burned up?' And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to look. So God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' He said also, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And Yahweh said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. So now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so you shall bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?' And he said, 'Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God at this mountain.' Then Moses said to God, 'Behold, I am about to come to the sons of Israel and say to them, "The God of your fathers has sent me to you." And they will say to me, "What is his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name from generation to generation.'" And God goes on and tells Moses to gather the elders of Israel together so that he can tell them these things, and that he is going to bring them up out, and that even the women will be able to ask their neighbors for things to bring them out. And then this is what Moses says after God has appeared to him in the burning bush. In chapter 4, verse 1, "Then Moses answered and said, 'What if they will not believe me and will not listen to my words? For they may say, Yahweh has not appeared to you.' And Yahweh said to him, 'What is this in your hand?' And he said, 'A staff.'" And Moses, he goes on and tells Moses to throw the staff down, and it becomes a serpent. And then he tells Moses to take it up again, and it becomes a staff. And He in verse 6, he said, and Yahweh furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. So he's put his hand into his bosom. Then he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, return your hand into your bosom. So he returned his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it returned to being like the rest of his flesh. And so God was giving him these signs. And then listen to what Moses said. And all this is important because it refers to our, or it it has importance in our verse for the day. In verse 10, he says, then Moses said to Yahweh, please, Lord, I've never been a man of words, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your slave, for I am one with a hard mouth and a hard tongue. And Yahweh said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? So now go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and will instruct you what you shall speak. But he said, please, Lord, send now the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he can certainly speak. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you, and he will see you and be glad in his heart. And you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I, even I, will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will instruct you in what you shall do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will become as a mouth for you, and you will become as God to him. And you shall take in your hand the staff with which you shall do the signs. And then I want to bounce down to verse 27 and read forward to our verse. It says, then Yahweh said to Aaron, go to meet Moses in the wilderness. So he went and encountered him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of Yahweh with which he had sent him and all the signs he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the sons of Israel. And then here's our verse. And Aaron spoke all the words which Yahweh had spoken to Moses. He then did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and they heard that Yahweh cared about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction. So they bowed low and worshiped. Oh, my gracious, there is so much stuff here. At first, I think about the grace of God when he had showed Moses all these signs and had appeared to him in the burning bush. He showed him the sign with the staff. He spoke to him, told him who he was, and told him what he wanted him to do. And then Moses said, but I can't speak. I've never been speak. I have a hard mouth and a hard tongue. And please send somebody else to do it. And the anger of the Lord, it says, burned against Moses. It's a wonder he didn't take him out. But God's grace, isn't he gracious? Isn't he gracious? Isn't he patient with us? Now, would I recommend arguing with God? No. But we see his grace and his mercy in this, and we see that he still got the job done. He told Moses, well, you're still going to have to do the work. You're going to have to tell Aaron what all I tell you. So Moses was not getting off the hook. And Moses, when I think about the stress on him and how difficult it would have been to lead 2 million people out of Egypt under duress and all those sorts of things that they went through, all those plagues, all those constant meetings with Pharaoh, all those different things, and God gave him the strength. He continued to meet with him. He continued to be gracious to him. And I love what we read in Exodus 33:11. It says, thus Yahweh used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, and his attendant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. But there was a friendship there. And Moses could speak from the heart, honestly, with God. He pled for the people at some time, you know, at one point. And so I'm thankful for that. But what we see in our verse for the day is that Aaron did just what Moses had told him to do, just what Yahweh had spoken to Moses. Aaron was obedient. He carried out those things, and then Moses then did the signs in the sight of the people. And when I read this, I think, okay, what would the Lord have me to know from this? Well, God's purposes are going to prevail. No plan of His will be thwarted. He will use those that He chooses. And He is also gracious and patient and slow to anger and rich in steadfast love toward us, we imperfect sinners. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for Aaron's example. Aaron was older than Moses, yet he yielded to his direction because God had given him those words to say. And Aaron could have bucked up and said, you know, you're younger than me. I'm not doing what you're telling me to do. But he didn't. He knew the power of God, and he did what Moses told him to do. The things that God told Moses, Moses told Aaron, and then Aaron did it. And so may we first seek to be obedient to God in all things. May we seek to give Him glory, even if it doesn't look the way that we want it to look. May we continue to be obedient. And thankfully, you know, on this side of the cross, He's given us His Holy Spirit. And we've talked about this many times before. He leads us in truth. He guides us. He tells us the things that He wants us to say. He gives us His strength. He gives us that power. And that was not as readily available or poured out as much, it doesn't seem, in the Old Testament. We don't hear about it as much as we hear about that it's something that all believers have now on this side of the cross. And so I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful for these examples. I'm thankful for seeing how God keeps His promises and His purposes and His plans prevail no matter what. But may we trust and obey. May we be obedient for His glory. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.